Acts chapter 3. And as you're doing that, I want you to think for a moment of a lighthouse. A common description, a common picture of what we get to do, especially with memorizing how we are the light of the world. And the lighthouse puts out a light as a warning that there's shore nearby, that they wouldn't crash into the shore. Now, I want you to imagine, instead of the lighthouse by the shore, a bunch of lighthouses, and not by the shore, put them out in the middle of the ocean, all together. How efficient do you think that would be? They're just there to be safe together, right? And to be comfortable, and to be... We like light, and so we're going to stay with all the other lights. It wouldn't make much sense. A lighthouse has a mission to be a warning, and it's got to be a warning, especially in the dark, and it's got to be a warning particularly where there's danger. It doesn't do any good to just gather and be safe and comfortable together, and it'd be kind of a waste, actually. As we're thinking about a lighthouse, we're going to be looking at the book of Acts this morning. And Acts starts particularly different. We get the Gospels, and most of them end with some sort of commission, what we know as the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20 being the most common one. Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the, teaching them to observe what I command you, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And he says, "Lo, I'll be with you always until the end of the age." And Jesus gives that commission there, sharing his authority, which is his now, commissioning us under his authority and sending us out. And each gospel ends with some sort of commission, but Acts starts with that commission. And we see then where the apostles go forward from that commission. They are tasked with sharing the gospel, with being witnesses. And we're going to talk about that word this morning. And you see the power of the Holy Spirit, and the full name of that book is the Acts of the Apostles. We see how the apostles come to a point in their lives where they have so much faith, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Of course, they're given some gifts of the early apostolic gifts of the church, so that we don't share the same type of gifts today, but they're empowered by the same Spirit with the same message, the same task to go forth with. And we see how their faith shapes their lives and how they respond, having just witnessed the death and then the resurrection of their Savior and then his ascension into heaven. And he says, you're going to receive my power. You're going to be my witnesses. The Acts of the Apostles, though, isn't just what the apostles did. We could also understand this book as the establishment of the church. God founded his church. It was the beginning of those who were believers in Jesus Christ, saved and gathered together. And church, as we've seen before, means called out ones. It's a compound word of called out. And so the church are those who are called out for a purpose, called out for a mission. Matthew 16, 18, before we get to this point, Jesus is talking to Peter, and he tells him, he tells the apostles what's going to happen here. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock being the confession of Peter, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God." So on the rock of who Jesus is, on that confession, he says, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." That's an amazing thing to consider. Hell is a scary thing, and a scary concept, and yet it's not just a concept. It is reality, and it is where we all, truth be told, is where we all deserve to go. Because we've all committed sin, and we've transgressed against the holy, eternal God. And we can never make up for that. And if God were fair, that I'd be right on my way there. And thankfully, God is so amazing. His love is so perfect with His justice combined that He saw fit to rescue us, saw fit to rescue us from the dangers that were about to happen. And He says that we being the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Not because of us, because of God. And God's given us His authority, He's given us His power. Gates of hell don't stand a chance against what God is about to do through His church. Now, if I want to try to physicalize this a little bit, and this is just to give us thought, but here we are in the church, and here's kind of our walls that surround us. And in a sense, this is more of a physical picture, but you walk out of this building today, walk past those walls, you're kind of storming against the gates of Hades. You are going into the world. Now, these aren't the gates, and we're safe inside, and we're going out into danger. But if we think about, we come here, and we could be... church is a good thing, don't get me wrong, but this is all we do as Christians, this is just a lighthouse. The lighthouse is gathering together some religious club, and that's not all the church was meant to be. Actually, as we look at this morning, we'll see that, and listen for a minute, you, my friends, are called to leave the church. You're called to leave the church. Not to no longer be a part of it, but if we use church in the sense of building, you're called to go. You're called to go out. You're called to fulfill your mission as part of the church, part of God's people who are called out for a purpose and who are part of a group that hell stands no chance against us. We are on the Lord's side and we have the victory already. And we are going to storm against the gates of hell when we leave the building and go out each week to keep fulfilling the call of God, the call of Jesus, what He has commissioned us to do as His people. I want to look at our story in Acts 3 and 4 this morning. I'm going to back up. As we've been studying Outflow, the authors have been talking about our four-tiered fountain. How the love of God will spill out into our lives and it will keep overflowing because God's love has no limits and His love overflows and it spills out into our lives, it spills out from our lives into our friends and family, it keeps spilling out into our community and keeps spilling out into the world around us. And this is going to be kind of a connection as we move on into a series that looks at the influence that each one of us has, the amazing influence that God gives us. We'll be picking up with the passage we've been memorizing next week about how we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. God gives us influence and we go out and God's going to use us. So Acts 1:8 is the basis for that four-tiered fountain. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be witnesses to me. In Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Just expanding the bounds of how far the gospel is going to go. It's not just for you. You're going to do it in this city, here in Jerusalem. You're going to do it in this district, here in Judah. And it's going to expand over into those Samaritans that you guys think you don't like and don't want to have any part of. The gospel's for them too. It's got no limits and it's going to go all the way to the end of the earth. It's going to reach all nations. And we can miss it here if we just conclude that this is a missions text and this is for missionaries who are going to go to other countries somewhere else. Maybe some of us are called to go at some point. I know some of you already have. But that's a gospel that is spilling out even to our world where we are now. And it keeps going. And we are commissioned as witnesses. And such a great word that is. And we're going to be thinking about that today. We're called to go out and demonstrate God's love, and to show the world what the gospel is all about. We are called to demonstrate, to go and demonstrate the gospel. That's the, it's not the key word of the commission in Matthew 28, but it is a word that describes, as you go, make disciples. And so there's a big implication there. I'm not saying go means go to each country and hit each one on the way. As you go, as you leave this building today, as you go out through the week and you go about your lives, going is the form there. Going, make disciples. We're going to go. We have our lives. We go different places. And each one of you, from those in the back to you in this corner, each one of you in this room has a special area of influence that I will never have. And it's not the pastor's job to go and share the gospel. That's part of my job. But I want to encourage you that's part of your... you have something that I could never do. And I want to get you fired up and equip you and get you ready to go. To go and demonstrate the gospel. And there's four things that we're going to need to show as we do that. We're going to pick up in our story today in Acts 3 and 4. And I'm going to move through this quickly. I don't get to cover the bulk of the text, but I am going to pick out of it four things that we're going to show as we go and demonstrate the gospel. And the first is this. We're going to go and demonstrate. We're going to show them the mission of Jesus. And that's by first going out. You see, Peter and John out. They went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And they're out among the people and they're going to pass by and they're going to see a man there who's in need. And just being available. We kind of highlighted this over and over in our outflow study, and we can't miss that. It's an important component that our time is not for us. Our day is not for us. If we simply live a safe and comfortable life and retire with a decent amount of money and then try to do good along the way, we've missed it entirely. We're sent out with a mission, and we're going to keep demonstrating the gospel. And Peter and John have the opportunity to do that as they see this lame man, and he's begging for some money. He's kind of giving up hope for getting healed. And they say, "Well, we don't have money. Silver and gold have I none. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And what a huge blessing that is for him. He's leaping and dancing and praising God, and he is just, my feet work. I can't imagine not having the ability to be able to move around. Sometimes I complain at the end of the day my legs are sore, but I can walk, I can jump, I can chase after my boys, I can try to keep up with them, and what an amazing blessing we have all the time that we might miss. And this guy is excited because he finally has strength in his legs. And his feet and his ankle bones receive strength, and he's leaping up, he's walking, and he's able to enter the temple and testify. How many of you have that gift of healing? You can just tell somebody to walk, and all of a sudden they can do it. We're not commissioned with those apostolic gifts, and yet we still have the same ability to go and to care for people's needs. And that's the second thing we're going to need to show. We're going to need to show the mission of Jesus, but we're also going to need to show the love of Jesus. Show the mission of Jesus and show the love of Jesus. They were able to have compassion on him. I mean, this guy's in the way. They probably wanted to get into the temple, and they could have passed right by him and ignored him and gone and done the good thing of going in and worshiping and praying and looked good, and they could have been safe, lighthouses gathered together. But, and you wouldn't even believe this, they healed somebody and they're going to get arrested for it. Because they did it in the name of Jesus. But they had the compassion to demonstrate Jesus' love for them. Because that's what this is all about. The Holy Spirit in us, welling us up with the joy and the love of Jesus that we would... we saw in 2 Corinthians 5, the love of Jesus compels us. Like, I'm just obsessed with that. There's nothing else I can think about. But they see this man, and he can be a hindrance, a problem to them, or he can be their most important thing of the day. not just him, although he's a person. He's not just something there. He's a person in need. But their whole agenda changes because they reach out to him in the name of Jesus. And now they're arrested and they go on in the rest of Acts 3. And Acts 3, they're like, well, don't look at us and say how great we are. This is all about God. And then they get arrested. And then Acts 4, they have a chance to preach and address the Sanhedrin and give credit to God. So now they've gotten the chance to demonstrate. Here's Jesus' mission. It's about being out with people. They've gotten the chance to demonstrate the love of Jesus by showing compassion, going out of their way. How can we do that? It doesn't take much to go out of our way. We see in our outflow readings, he just noticed somebody who looked kind of unhappy at the restaurant. And he just said, I want to pay for your meal and encourage you today because God loves you. I'm going to have to sacrifice some of my money to do that. I could have spent that on other things, but I have means, and that money is from God. God enabled me to work and earn that. What other gifts do I have? My time is precious to me, but if I just stop and listen to somebody for a little bit, there are plenty of ways to show compassion to the people around us. It may be well accepted and it may not. But we can reach out and keep blessing and keep loving, not take offense to the world who might be lost and might respond wrongly, but we just get a chance to keep sowing the seeds, keep demonstrating that this is what the gospel is all about. Jesus has got a mission and Jesus loves you. There's another thing we get to demonstrate as we go out, and that's the power of Jesus. The power of Jesus. And this is shown a number of ways. They respond and they give God the credit. It's like, it's not about us. Verse 10, it says that they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Verse 11, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, and they were greatly amazed. And here's how they responded in verse 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Well, this is an amazing thing. So it seems like a strange question, but he knows they're looking at the power of men. How did these men heal this guy? He wants them to look at the power of God, Jesus' power. And why do you look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness, we've made this man walk? No way we did this. Now, if we stop and think, as we get the chance to bless people, that makes us look really good. And that feels good. Hey, look at me, I did a good thing, and now people think of me as a good person, and we can absorb that to ourselves. And then we've totally missed the opportunity already. We blessed somebody, but it was about me. But they give God the credit. And we can give God the credit. Just, God loves me so much. God loves you. I wanted you to see that. And there's lots of simple ways to just point to God in the moment and say, God loves you. And we wanted to show you that. God loves me, and I'm not the person I would be had God not intervened. You get to speak to the power of Jesus in my life, the power of Jesus in their life, and demonstrate. And he says here, it's not our power, it's not our godliness. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. They had the choice. They said, crucify Jesus. He says, you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. They're fulfilling that power that they have, the commission of being witnesses. We're witnesses of that. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Peter and John, they would have looked so good if they just healed that guy and shut up and just like, yep, thank you. And got out of there. They would have looked good. They never would have gotten arrested. Things would have stayed safe. They could have made a small difference. But by opening their mouth and demonstrating the power of God, giving him the credit, they end up getting arrested. They wanted to. When they talked to them, they're like, "Well, we can't deny that they healed somebody, but at least we got to shut them up. Like, don't talk in Jesus' name anymore. You can't do that." And of course, they're going to deny that as well. But they got so many more opportunities. And this went out as about the power of Jesus, not about two great men who were healing people. And I love verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, what did they see? Look how smart those guys are. Look how great they are. And they're like, those guys never got training. Those guys never went to school. They don't have any. They saw that they had been with Jesus. They saw that they had been with Jesus. That's what I want the world to know about me. I don't want them to see that Luke, he's so smart. He knows so many things. He's able to do so many things. I want them to look at me and say, well, there's a man who's been with Jesus. If I can be known by one thing, not about how great I am. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. If I didn't have four verses going for you to memorize, I might have to make you memorize this first. So they demonstrated the power of Jesus. And finally, they demonstrated trust in Jesus. We'll have to wrap up pretty quick here, but they demonstrated trust in Jesus. They were told to stop speaking in His name. They were told no more. And they said, we're going to threaten them. Let's tell them all the bad things we're going to do to them to make sure they don't do that anymore. And Peter and John, verse 19 and 20, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. Their trust in Jesus is one that they were going to keep going in courage, no matter what trials they faced, no matter what troubles, and they weren't going to let man tell them what to do. They were going to keep following after God. And that can be hard sometimes. It can be hard to be put down. It can be hard to be shunned, to have relationships hurt. Our goal isn't to just butt our way in, no matter what the cost of the relationship. But eventually, as we speak up, people will be offended about the name of Jesus. But we have that commission, and we can keep trusting in Jesus. And what I want you to see, then, as they continue demonstrating the mission of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the power of Jesus, and their trust in Jesus, they were being witnesses. They were being witnesses with their life, with their love, with their words. It's not true to say that the gospel doesn't take words. We have to live it, but then we speak it too. And they were being witnesses to the people around them. A witness, someone who saw something, experienced something, and testifies to it. I want to just quickly read from a couple other passages real quick. 1 John 1:3. Because some people want to say Jesus, he wasn't really a physical being. And they said in 1 John 1:1-3, that which is from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled. I mean, come on, we've touched him. John's leaned on his chest. Very intimate relationship. He says, all these things which we've experienced concerning the word of life, that life was manifested. It was revealed to us. It was made visible. And we've seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which is with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we've seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. They were being witnesses. I'm going to go ahead and close with this today, because we want to demonstrate the gospel. And as witnesses, one thing witnesses have to do is to come and testify in court. I'm going to pass these around. And what's happening here is that you are being subpoenaed. You are ordered to testify. I didn't keep a copy for myself. Can I borrow that? You are ordered to appear as a witness before the city of Danville and the world around you to testify and give evidence regarding the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, living forever with your life, love, and words. This is your subpoena that I want you to respond to. Make sure you appear in court. And really, who you're testifying to is everybody that you pass by that you interact with, you have a chance to demonstrate the gospel. Did we run out? Did I not print enough? I thought I had enough, but maybe we lost some along the way. Should have had 20. Okay, well, if you didn't get a copy, I can get you more copies next week. Sorry about that. But what? Just a reminder, a physical reminder to you that we've kind of, in a sense, been subpoenaed by God to be His witnesses, to demonstrate the gospel to those around you. And what a wonderful privilege that is, that He would use us for His glory, to share that He's entrusted us, that we've experienced it for ourselves, and we can take that to others. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You for all of the book of Acts, to see what You've done in establishing Your church, and that You are establishing Your church with a mission to be salt and light, to be those who would go out to demonstrate the gospel, to testify at any and all costs, Lord. And they had something to testify to, that they were going to show to the people around them. And that's Your mission, Your love, Your power, and their trust in You, their trust in Your Son, Jesus. Thank You for rescuing us, and allow us, please, Lord, to be out where we have to warn people of the danger. We might have to get on the edge of the world, right next to people who are in severe danger, and be that light, warning them that they need to give their life to Christ and trust in Him. Father, I thank You for that commission. Be with us this week, that we would be the church going out and storming the gates of hell. And Lord, that we would see how Your power prevails against it. We thank You for this call, and we give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.